Well, good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
A frosty morning. It's cold here, but it was colder in Catesbridge up in County Down. -9 degrees. That would have you very cold indeed. Returning to the Psalms, and it's the Psalm we started to look at last time I was with you, Psalm 74. Psalm 74. We'll read the verse 1. We haven't really got any further and won't get any further than that first verse today. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Psalm 74, verse 1. Now, last week, when we were with you, we had an introduction to this psalm, and here in the verse 1 of it, as we begin a more detailed examination, as I said, we have indications of a future spiritual awakening amongst the people of Israel. I have to point out a simple truth concerning the Bible, boys and girls. You will not find God's Word and the doctrines of God's Word set out in the Bible in a chronological order. When we look particularly at prophecy, you will not find that the events of the future are set out in the Bible chronologically. And by that I mean the first events, the second events, the third events, the fourth events set out in that sort of an order. No. You may well look at the very last events and see them referred to first before the first events are set out. And as I thought about this, and thought about how trying to explain it to you, I thought of something. In this earth, on this earth, there are many, many precious elements. Precious stones, diamonds, rubies, emeralds, there's gold, there's silver. But how did God place on the earth the diamonds, the emeralds, the gold, the silver? Do you find all the emeralds in one place and all the diamonds in another place? No. They're scattered all over the surface of the earth, though certain countries seem to have more precious stones of a certain type than other countries. And not only are they scattered, but they're scattered away beneath the surface of the earth. And you have to dig down and look for them. And that's how it is in God's Word. You will find the precious truths of God's Word scattered throughout the whole of the Bible. Here you find some, there you find some particular truths. And you've got to search the Bible. And I feel that's what God has done this for. The reason behind setting out his truth in this fashion. He wants you to search. He wants you to search. You can only learn what the Bible has to provide us with and teach us if we search it, read it diligently. Just the way men, when they're looking for gold, they have to dig and dig and dig and dig and look all over the place. And do you know another thing I was thinking? If you were to come across a diamond, the chances are you wouldn't even know it was a diamond. Just looks like a dirty old stone. Or a nugget of gold. Chances are you would look at it and throw it away. Because it's not bright and shining when it's first dug out of the ground, as we know gold to be. Well, likewise, men come to the Bible and they read it and they don't see the gold and the diamond and the precious truths of God's word. They have to be taught. They have to be given the eye of an expert, as it were, in order to see these truths. So, when we come to Psalm 74, we're prophetically transported into the future and into a specific stage in the history of Israel at the end of this age, some time before the Lord returns, at a time when they begin to realize things are not right, things are not right. Now, at this present time, regarding the relationship between Israel and God, things are not right, but Israel doesn't recognize that. They're blind to that. Look at what verse 1 says. Listen to it. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Here's two questions. Here is Israel realizing that something's wrong. Those questions are not being asked by Israel at the present time. They're not questions being asked by any unconverted person at the present time, except God begins to reveal to them the spiritual state they're in. So let's quickly notice, first of all, that here is Israel realizing that they are cast off by God. That's what they're sensing, feeling. They're feeling that they are not right with God. I think I've told you a wee story that happened to me a long, long time ago. It happened in London. I would have been about 3 years of age, younger than any of you here. And I was walking with my dad, holding on to his hand, quite happy. And then I took my hand away from his for some reason, and I reached up and grabbed what I thought was his hand again. And continued on, walking along, holding on to this hand, and then I looked up, and it wasn't my dad at all. I had grabbed somebody else's hand. Now, at that moment, I became very alarmed and probably started to howl. But my dad was very close. He had seen all this, and he and the man whose hand I was holding had looked at each other and smiled and wondered how long would it be before I realized I had grabbed the wrong hand. But while I was holding the wrong hand and didn't know about it, I was happy enough. I was happy enough. It was only when they looked up and saw I had the wrong hand that I became very distressed. Well, here in this opening verse of the psalm, Israel realizes we're not holding God's hand and God's not holding our hand. Why hast thou cast us off? There's a breach between us and God. We have not that relationship with God we once had. That's what they're saying. And they've only come to realize this. And this is right at the end of this age. O God, why hast thou cast us off? That's a strong term, cast off. If you're ever about a harbor, or if you know anything about ships, when a ship is about to sail, there will be somebody up on the bridge of the ship, and they'll shout down to the sailor, cast off! And that means they will loosen the ties that hold the ship to the pier, and they'll cast them overboard. That's how Israel's feeling. they're separated from God. They've drifted away from God. And the word cast off there, as I say, is strong. It means spurned, rejected. Why has God spurned us? Why has God, as it were, turned his back on us and rejected us? That's what they have begun to realize, that we're rejected of God. And they became aware of something else. Look at what the second question is. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Let me stop there and just underline that. They have not only realized that they're cast off, but they have realized that we have been cast off for a long time. We didn't realize it. We didn't recognize it. But we have been adrift from God for a long time. Why hast thou cast us off forever? Forever. That's the second element of the first question that I wanted to draw your attention to. Man by nature doesn't recognize his lost condition, boys and girls. He's content in his sin. But here is the beginning of an awakening amongst the people of Israel. They become conscious of their lost condition. And that, boys and girls, is the beginning of the great work of grace amongst those who are saved. Has to start with this wonderful awakening. I'm lost. I'm away from God. As I say, people don't recognize that, by and large. They might feel a little troubled at times. Why do these things happen to me? Why am I in difficulty? Why is my heart disturbed? Why am I not at peace in my mind? But that's as far as it goes. Don't grasp the truth that I am unhappy and I am miserable. I am discontent because I am away from God. I'm away from God. Here's Israel realizing we're lost. We're lost. We're cast off. Oh, boys and girls, it's a wonderful mercy to suddenly realize that you're lost and you haven't got God's salvation. Then again, the second point, they have become aware of God's anger against them. They're not just cast off, but God is angry with them. Look at what it says. Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? This is a great anger. Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Why is thine anger like a furnace? Great billows of smoke emerging from it. Your anger is burning fierce against us. Unconverted sinners have no awareness of this. They have no awareness that the wrath of God abides upon them. That's how it is if you're not saved. But here is Israel, and by the mercy of God, they're being awakened to how they stand and how they are related to the Lord. He's angry with them because of their sin, because of how they have rejected the Lord Jesus and done that for years and lived in defiance of God. And that's how it is. If you're not saved today, you have rejected the Lord Jesus all your days. You have been a sinner all your days. If you're not saved today, God is angry with you. But he's angry with your sin. And yet at the same time, he offers mercy. He's angry, and yet he loved your sin. Your mum and dad at times may get angry with you at some foolish thing you have done, but they still love you. They love you. So it is with the Lord. There is anger toward us because of our sin, but there's a love directed toward us out of the merciful heart of God. Please notice this, boys and girls. Israel is blind to these things I've just pointed out to you. Look at the word, why? If they knew anything about their sin, they would know why God had cast them off. They would know why God was angry. But they don't feel their sin. They don't recognize their sin. And so they turn to God and say, why? The implication is, you're not doing right by us. You shouldn't be angry with us. What's the reason for this? That shows the blindness of the heart of the sinner. Boys and girls, there is nothing more right, more correct than that God should be angry with us. He has every reason to be angry because of our sin. Our sin is so, so dark and so, so wicked. We have sinned against God to a degree we couldn't begin to measure. And yet we're blind. Why hast thou cast us off? What have I done? That's what they're saying. Oh, how blind they are. How blind they are. How blind is man, not just the Jew, I want to emphasize, but many Protestants in our country and Roman Catholics in our country are blind to their sin. They have no awareness of the greatness of their rebellion against the Lord. Oh, that you might know and understand what a rebel you are against God, and that your only hope is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, to die to save us from our sins. We leave the matter there. Let's bow in prayer, please. O God, our Heavenly Father, be pleased even now to write thy word upon the hearts of the boys and girls. Bless the school today. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.